Did I just hear somebody whistle at me over there? That's awesome. I appreciate that. I'll take it. Yeah, I can't whistle either. Our six-year-old Mia is like a professional whistler. She is so good at whistling. And ever since I got braces, I can't whistle anymore. And she teases me about it like crazy. She's like, Mom, anybody can whistle. I'm like, baby, I can't whistle. All right, well, good morning, Mountain Chapel. I think I'm just about over the jet lag. It's been a long week. Do I sound like a can still? If it's horrible, I can switch to the handheld. We worked on it for quite a while this morning. I can move it away. Is this good? All right. So lots of you guys want to hear about Italy, yes? I've had a lot of requests for stories about Italy. For those of you who don't know, my husband David and I, he's the one who plays the guitar, just got back from Italy. This is our fourth time. We've gone four times in the last 4 years. We lead the BSSM mission trips. And they just get better every year. It's amazing. I've told stories about that very first year, seeing a woman's leg completely, like, rebuild as I prayed for her. It's unreal. First creative miracle I've ever seen. I mean, you can't go back after something like that. You know, you see something like that and you just can't say, I don't know if miracles are for now anymore. You know, like, it's done. And you know there's the more. And so you're like, hook, line, and sinker, I'm in. Okay. We've seen more and more of that. I think what was so cool about this trip is we got to see what has happened in certain people's lives that we've been able to interact with over the last 4 years. So, for example, this one young worship leader, when we first met her, she was 15. She was the worship leader for their youth band. Really, you know, loud and charismatic and fun personality. And I prophesied over her that first year that the Nightingale word that I talked about a couple weeks ago, about the fact that God was turning the hearts of young people to be the solution for Italy. At the time, all she wanted to do was get to America or get to England, get somewhere else. She did not love Italy. She refused to sing in Italian. She only wanted to sing in English. And so we really focused on her, you know, and spoke into her life and explained why it's so important to sing in your own language, why it's so important to be the solution for your nation. You have keys that we don't have to change and affect your nation. And so this time, she's now 19. She just finished her first year in college. She's incredible. The growth in her life has been, oh my gosh, it's that mama moment, you know, when you're just like, I'm so proud of you. That's happening all over the place. There are just these beautiful, beautiful lives that have been shaped by the fingerprints of our trips and by God coming in and doing what he does. And it was just really special to see long-term effects, you know, like the fruit. Any of you guys see the apple tree picture that I just put on Facebook of my apple tree that's finally bearing fruit? Oh my gosh, so gratifying, right? When you buy a house out of foreclosure and all the fruit trees are like withered and toast, and after 2 years of really careful pruning and feeding and nurturing and water, here are these big old apples that just came off of that tree. And it takes time, you know, but oh my gosh, so gratifying. That's what this trip was. We got to see a lot of apples, really beautiful, shiny apples. We got to see miracles. We started the trip with a worship service. You saw probably the pictures, the outdoor one with the garden lights up above. That was in the courtyard area of a missionary's home. You guys probably remember Lauren and Stephen, who came and stayed with us for a month a couple years ago. That's Lauren and Stephen's dad's house, oh my gosh, the presence of God at some of these things. I mean, it was overwhelming. It was those types of services where you just can't quite stand anymore. because it's just so thick and so beautiful. We saw a bunch of people heal from back pain. They're still messing with it, aren't they? This one woman had a big old cyst in her arm that just started to dissolve and disappear, and by the end of the worship service, it was gone. Tons of awesome stuff, you know, cool stuff that's cool to talk about and cool testimonies, but man, I think the part that was the most exciting is just kind of seeing how it's dialing up and getting to see God doing things that that I want to bring back here, you know, things that they've got, keys that they've got that they're doing really well that we could really take a note from. Of course, it was beautiful. Of course, the food was awesome. We had this one worship service in Torino we weren't expecting. We had been told we were just going to be getting together with some friends of one of the students who's come to the SSM, just finished first year. So we were back in his hometown, and he wanted us to meet some of his friends. So we thought we were just going to be hanging out, you know, maybe getting the guitars out, something like that. Well, we show up at the church where we're supposed to be hanging out and having pizza, and there's like 75 people there. And they were coming for like a full-on worship service. And so we got up there, and we did the thing, and I tell you what, it was the best one of the whole trip. It was the hunger and the passion in that room. They came with an expectation. They were going to meet God. And he just came. And it was brilliant. You know, something happens to me when I travel. Maybe this happens to you too. But I've found that whenever I leave my norm, you know, my life, my situation, my status quo, I come back more aware of the things that drive me nuts about my life, you know, my norm, or the things that I don't recognize on a daily basis but am super thankful for. For example, when I go to Italy, I always come back so thankful for the American free market system, our economy, and our government. America, for all its faults, I know it's an election season, we're strong. We've got a system of checks and balances in our executive government. We've got the judicial system, and it all lends to strength that so many other nations don't enjoy. They don't have a voice like we have. And it is a shame for us not to use it. Side note. Because we live in a nation where we get to decide and we get to choose and we get to have coffee with our congressmen on Tuesday at Red House. They have a government where it's pretty corrupt. If you want to own a business, if you want to start a business, you're going to pay 50% of your income to the government in taxes. 50%. Talk about entrepreneurism? No. Nobody does entrepreneurism like the United States. You know, it's beautiful. But you take it for granted. You don't really think about it. And so you go somewhere else, and then you're like, hot dang, I love the USA. You know what I'm saying? And I love our economy. Our free market system is beautiful. We're strong economically. And we strengthen the economy of the rest of the world. You know, it's something beautiful that we release on the planet. And I just come back really thankful for it. But for another example, there's my dog Remington. I pretty much hate this dog. He is my husband's dog, and I love him for my husband's sake, but I find him super annoying pretty much all the time. He jumps on people. He destroys my yard. Apparently, he chews up pillows when he's suffering from separation anxiety. Sorry about that, Eva, wherever you are. yeah, Texas, okay. But he's my dog, so I cope, you know. But then I get 2 weeks away. 2 weeks without Remington, and I come home, and it's like, oh my gosh, the irritation is so exaggerated, right? It's the same thing when you eliminate milk and gluten from your system for a couple of months, and then you think, I'm going to treat myself to a latte. It'll be okay. Bless your heart, it's not going to be okay. It is not going to be okay. It's not going to go so well. Because when we get something out of our system that isn't good for us or that is an irritant, right, and then we try to reintroduce it, the problem is super obvious. But when we slowly acclimate to it over time, we don't really notice it as much. Are you with me? So when we're traveling, I'm going to go back from where I'm going. You can kind of feel where I'm going. When we were traveling, we kept hearing about how great this new HBO series Game of Thrones is.
right? Everybody's talking about Game of Thrones is so great, blah, 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 blah. So, of course, the first thing I did when we got home was to pick up my Netflix binge-watching habit. Now, I'm going to just air my dirty laundry right now. I love to binge on TV shows. I will watch episode after episode after episode, and I'm exhausted, but one more, just one more episode. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm stumbling to bed like a zombie, right? That's me. It's just me. I'm a night owl, and it's what I do. Side note, Game of Thrones isn't available on Netflix, but we had the seasons lent to us, so I thought, hey, let's try them. Let's see them. So Dave's turning it on, getting it all set up. We're in the middle of starting the first episode of Game of Thrones, and I'm scrolling through my Facebook news feed, where someone has just posted the new Macklemore versus Ryan Lewis dance-off music video and is claiming that it is the best music video of the year. So, of course, I have to watch it. So I'm clicking on it, and I'm watching this music video, and it's full of smutty, dirty, dirty stuff, as music videos are. And then I look up the Game of Thrones, and it's full of sex and nudity, and this thought runs across my head. I'm not really even thinking. I'm just evaluating the situation that I'm in, and I hear the Muslims are right about us. And I stop, and I'm like, what? What did I just think? What did I just think? What was that that just ran across my news feed in my brain? And I came back to the fact that I've heard multiple times that Middle Eastern Muslims think that Americans are Christians. They just think we're one and the same because for them, religion and government is all kind of one and the same. It's so connected. And so a lot of them think that all Americans are Christians. And then they see us vacationing in Dubai in skimpy bathing suits and watching our American TV and our movies, and they think that we're some of the most immoral people on the planet. And of course, you know, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I can sit back and just be like, oh, no, 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 that's not all of us. That's not me. They just don't know. They just don't know that Christians are great and whatever. But in this moment, I saw it. I had gotten out of our culture long enough. I had gotten away from Netflix long enough. I had been without Wi-Fi for long enough and came back into my norm and realized, oh my gosh, what are we allowing into our atmospheres? What are we allowing to be our norm that should not be in our norm? You guys know that when I preach, I usually bring pretty encouraging words. I love empowerment. I love the grace culture that we're in. I love that we are powerful and free, and that's the kind of Christianity that we experience and that we are going after. But the Achilles heel of a grace-based culture is this. This is where it can all go awry. We believe in the unfailing love of God. We see Him as a loving daddy, a God who just can't wait to spend time with us. And all of that is true. It's true, and it's the foundation of what we believe. It's the core of what we believe. And yet, we can so easily slip into patterns that dull us and normalize sin as we call on grace. The Bible is true. It's all truth, and it's life to us. It is nourishment to us, and we need the whole thing. The empowerment messages, yes. And then there's the bit in Revelation about being lukewarm. What do we do with that one? Revelation 3:15-16, I know your deeds, and that you are neither hot nor cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Whew. My youth pastor used to quote that one to get us to do our daily devotionals, and we would do them. And we don't want to use verses like that to manipulate the church and to cause us to adopt behaviors because we're scared of it, right? Like, that's not the answer, but it's there. This is part of truth. Now, this passage was written to the church in Laodicea, southeast of Ephesus. It's also a portrayal of the apostate church, so it's kind of a metaphor for the apostate church. So then you go, okay, well, let's take a look. Who are they writing to? Maybe they're not actually writing to me. What was the apostate church? Well, if you research the apostate church, the Church of Christ denomination has a lot written out there about the apostate church, because pretty much they believe that any church that plays instruments and has Super Bowl parties is an apostate church. So we're guilty. And that's no criticism on their faith. They just have a different view of what the Bible says and what the apostate church is. But essentially, I think what we're talking about is a church where the theology distorts Jesus and a church that normalizes sin. A church that makes allowances for what the Bible clearly says to stay away from. So here it is. Are we normalizing sin? In a grace culture, we try to find that balance between I'm fully forgiven, I can leave it at the cross, there's new grace for today, it's okay, and go and sin no more, right? We're trying to find our place in between the two of them. So I'm going to read to you Colossians 3. And guys, I am preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. I have a binge-watching habit, and I know I'm not alone. Colossians 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I'm going to come back and break all that down for us. It's going to be fun. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked, but you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with all its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. That's Colossians 3, 1 through 17. I like it when we read long passages, yeah? Instead of pulling out the part that's encouraging. But let's take it all in. I mean, when we go back, first of all, let's do this. Holy Spirit, we hear you. We feel you. Let conviction come. We are open. We trust you. Show us the bits and the pieces and the places that this applies to us. Because we want the upgrade. Thanks, Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Isn't that interesting that it throws all this like sexual sin and stuff and then throws greed in with it? Let's lump them together. I thought that was fascinating. When you break all of the Greek down of each of the words that he chooses, just like Paul always does, he chooses like the perfect word that has like a whole slew of additional synonyms, you know, tons and tons of meat to each of the words that he very specifically chooses. But essentially, he lists immorality, which includes all sexual sins among unmarried or married people, including adultery, homosexuality, incest, uncleanness of all kinds that defile the body. When he says passion, he is talking about desire, which in this instance is similar to lust because it's coupled with the adjective that he used. And then when he says evil desire, he's basically, it's exactly what it looks like it means. And then greed, desiring to have more than one has, not because of your insufficiency, but because others have more. Such desire is called idolatry. Guilty as charged. How many of us see somebody else doing something awesome, building an awesome new house, going on an awesome trip, getting an awesome new car, getting that awesome promotion at their job, and it's like, gosh dang it, why don't I have that? You know, I mean, that's all of us, right? That hits all of us. And he's calling it idolatry. And then he says, for on this account of these things, the wrath of God will come. I mean, what do we do with that, right? What do we do with that? He says, to set aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. If you are talking crap about your coworkers, we're talking about you. If you're saying junk about your teachers at school, that's talking about you. It applies to all of us. We are all so guilty of this list. And then he talks about, you've been chosen of God, so put on a heart of compassion. Are we operating in as much compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness as we could? Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. Anybody holding a grudge in here? It's quiet. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And then verse 16 kind of hit me. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Will you let me go here for just a second? I stand there during worship most weeks. And I don't know at what point the back of the room turns into conversation hour, but it's hard to be pressing into a place of worship and creating a space and seeing conversation after conversation after conversation happening in the back. At what point do we say, wait a minute, we are normalizing a disrespect of the presence of God here? Of course there's grace. I don't know what you're talking about. You may be giving each other a prophetic word. Like, there's no judgment here. I'm just saying, like, at what point do we stop and we decide, you know what, I'm going to turn my worship up because he's worthy. Because he's worthy. He's worthy of my attention for 30 minutes. Right? And it says, with spiritual songs and singing with thankfulness. When was the last time you pushed yourself to sing out in the Spirit? If that's uncomfortable for you, keep your love on toward me, because I know I'm pushing a lot of buttons right now. And we're going to end it with love, I promise, because we have the cross. You know, we have Jesus. But sometimes it takes getting out of our norm and getting out of what we've normalized and acclimated to just go, now, wait a minute. He deserves more than this. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And speaking of the worship in the back room, today was beautiful. Not that I was back there evaluating and judging, because I don't do that, but as I looked around, I saw so many beautiful worshipers. My daughter included. Her worship is so pure. We could take a note from her. You know, I could take a note from her. It's so pure and so beautiful. You know, I'm going to be honest. After a couple of episodes of Game of Thrones, I was completely hooked. And last night, after a 10-hour day, all I wanted to do was come home from that art cruise that I had to put on, lay on my couch, and watch a couple episodes. But I'd already written this message. This is real, you guys. It took all of myself, every ounce of self-control I have, to just go to bed. It took tons of discipline. And I laid there, and I couldn't fall asleep for what felt like forever. Breaking the cycle is hard. Establishing new habits is hard. Think about the Olympics and all those athletes. As you progress to a new level of influence, a new level of ability, your habits have to change. An Olympic athlete can't eat Burger King anymore. They just can't. Burger King is in the gray area, right? There are all kinds of things that we know aren't good for us. Bad sleep habits, eating this, eating that, not working out. We all know what's good for our bodies. It would be best if I got up every morning and I juiced some fresh organic produce and I went to the gym every other day and drank way more water than I do. But I don't, right? We're talking about the gray area, the things that we know are good for us, but we don't really do them. But if you want to move toward what you've been called to, if you want to become the embodiment of all of the richness that he has for your future, if you want to achieve the goal, you've got to leave some of that behind. I have to leave Netflix behind. I have to. Because that habit does not lend strength to where I'm going. And that's where we are, Mountain Chapel. That's where we are. All of the prophetic words that were given are true. We have such a beautiful destiny ahead of us as a church and as individuals. But there are habits and lifestyles and things that we've normalized that we have to let go of. And it is hard. You're going to be hangry. That's hungry and angry. It's like when I had to get rid of dairy and gluten and sugar and caffeine all at the same time because of a health thing. That was horrible. I had headaches for a week. I seriously found myself in the parking lot of Starbucks, like, hunting people. I wanted their coffee so bad. It's hard. But then it lightens up. And after about a week, my energy shot through the roof. I woke up alert at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I am not a morning person, but I would just wake up and like, bing, I'm ready for the day. I had so much energy. My body was saying, thank you so much. And then over time, you reintroduce some of those things because you get lazy and that latte looks so good and I'll just have one. And then I'm back in the same situation that I was in. Okay, that's where grace comes in. Grace is for that. Grace is for the process. Grace doesn't give us permission to stay in the process. Right? It's like Romans 6, 1 through 2. Paul talked about this. We aren't the first ones to run this merry-go-round. He said, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We can do this, Mountain Chapel. we can get our passion back. That's the thing that I saw in Italy that so moved me. They're hungry. They're making sacrifices. They're passionate. They're going after it. They are so ready for him to show up. They're on the streets. They're talking to people about Jesus. Are we on Main Street ever? We're not, because we're in America and we're used to our norms. I think Weaverville deserves better. I think we deserve better. I think that we're meant to be so much more glorious, and we're ready for an upgrade. And here's the cool thing. When we stop to say, all right, okay, I'll start working out, as our metaphor, right? He comes with that extra measure of grace to give you the nudge out the door. With that extra little bit of self-control, that extra little scoop that you need to just go to bed. But it takes everything you have to start that process. Put your hand on the person next to you and say, Father, convict them. Now two hands on you. Father, will you give me that fresh perspective to see the things that aren't bringing me life? Show me the sins that I've normalized, the places in my behavior that need an upgrade, the habits I need to break. Conviction comes. Now we're going to wait here a minute. We're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we open up the windows of Mountain Chapel and we let the stale air out. Let that fresh breeze of purity blow through this place until our souls are saturated with your oxygen. Jesus, we know that with you we can do all things. So we take these things that you've highlighted to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for showing them to us. So we hold them out before you. And we say we don't want them anymore. We see them. We want to let them go. And we need your strategies. Jesus, give us the strategies to be able to tackle these guys. Give us those increases of grace to be able to take those steps in the right direction. Give us the strength to find people to surround ourselves with, to be our workout buddies, our cheerleaders, the people who will call us and say, get out of bed. Or go to bed. Or get out of that situation. Don't go there. Because Jesus, we see that what you paid for is us completely alive and thriving. And we want to let go of everything that hinders. Will you restore our passion? Will you restore our passion for worship? Our passion to meet with you and our ability to be self-disciplined to pursue your faith for 30 minutes with our whole heart, with our everything. and to not just leave it there, but to seek you throughout the week. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak to us throughout the week, to take our hand and walk with us through this journey, to be our conscience. I see him like a little Jiminy Cricket. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you want what's best for us. And you make a way for us to be able to get there. Now we're going to take this up and we're going to go train like some Olympians. And we're going to let it all go with our eyes fixed on the prize. In your name we pray. Amen. Whew. Thank you. Now we're going to take communion. Doesn't that feel like a good next step? Yeah. Dave, would you like to lead us in communion? They've gotten it ready in the back. Want this? Do you need this?
Hello, testing. Oh, there we go. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. That was really good. Do you guys agree? Yeah. Yeah. You know, something... is Barry here? Okay. Barry and I were having a conversation the other day, and this applies. And so I just want to share this. As Barry said, we were talking about a similar subject, and he said, you know, God's... Yes, he has given us grace. We're under grace. And it's through grace that we can be obedient. But if we're not through grace, out of love, being obedient, then we can be under the law if we want to. You have the choice. You can be under the law if you want to. Or we can act out of a place where we want to bless his heart because he's worthy, because he's good. Because he has what's best for us. You guys with me? I don't want to go back to the law. But it's yours if you want it. All right. As they're passing that out, are we doing good? All right. I wasn't quite ready for this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, God, that you're good, that your love for us is amazing. Yeah, thank you for drawing us in today, God. Yeah. Does everybody about have the cup and bread? Okay. about there. All right, here's what I want you to do. So, I'm going to read this passage of Scripture when Jesus offered up the bread to his disciples. But I want you to just hold that close to yourself. This is the body, this is the blood Jesus shed for you, the body that was broken for you. I want you to know that this covers everything. Shame isn't allowed to be here. So if anything in Shanna's message left you feeling shame, it does not belong here. That was also paid for by the blood. So shame must leave. Conviction is a good thing. Shame, you're not allowed to dwell on that. That's his. So give it over. Okay? And receive the sacrifice. Receive what he gave, what he paid, so that you would have freedom. And that is freedom from shame. Okay? So in Luke, it says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks. Thank you, God. And he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Go ahead and take that. Then he took the cup, and once again he gave thanks. Yeah. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. And offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Yeah. God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace poured out. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. But thank you for the wake-up call this morning. Yeah. God, would you help us with the healthy balance of knowing the truth of who we are, all that we are, now that we're under grace, but also that from this place of love, we still have a calling, we still have a duty, we still... you have something better for us. Don't let us forget that. We love you, God.
Amen. I think it's really good when we have felt a stirring to take an immediate step. Otherwise, we get out that door and it's gone with the wind. When we feel the stirring, we feel Holy Spirit moving, we feel like, I need to do that. I think it's really good to take a step. And so if for you that is coming up here and getting some prayer, airing out your dirty laundry, finding somebody that you want to tell your stuff to and get it out there, awesome. We're going to have a prayer team up here. If you have somebody in mind that you feel like they would be a great sounding board for this with me, I want to go find them. Tell them, this is what I'm going after this week. Will you call me tomorrow and make sure I did it? Or whatever that looks like for you. Go find them real quick and make that happen before you leave, because I want to hear such cool stories. And if you feel comfortable enough, email the church. Email info@mountainchapel.com, shanna@mountainchapel.com, david@mountainchapel.com, any of us, to just say, hey, this is what I went after and I did it. I said no more candy bars. And I didn't have one today. You know, like, I want to hear the little steps, because it means we're moving. Baby steps lead to great strides. So email us. Let us know what you're doing and how God's moving in your particular situation. Bless you. Have a wonderful week.